grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
Weed!
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man. Chris Fowley.
Kia ora. Hello.
How's it going, mate? Now, you're not here in person, but you have sent us about 15 articles in the last 5 minutes.
Mate, you know I do my research, except when you call me out live on air. No. So, you know, just a few talking points there. There's been a few things happen this week, much more than in recent weeks. It's got to be a good thing, I guess.
Yep.
I feel like everyone's back in full swing at work. All the journalists are back at their desks typing out articles and...
Stoned immaculate typing out articles, eh?
Yeah, that could well be a bit of it. And but certainly one of the main articles of the week, and actually really loyal listeners would have been familiar with last week. We were talking about some of the... I had a bit of a rambling, bit of a riff about some of the shortcomings of the medical cannabis scheme and where it's kind of left us. And then lo and behold, the next day... the Herald has done quite a long article. New Zealand's medicinal cannabis supply in jeopardy is the title. Unfortunately, it's behind a paywall, but I have access to it. And there was another article that coincided with it, and which is called Hope's Desperate Measure to Relieve Pain Amid Medicinal Cannabis Supply Crunch.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best headline, but hey, what it's basically saying is that here we are almost a year after the scheme coming into effect, and patients are not getting the access that they came to expect. And certainly when we think back to Helen Kelly, you know, and her very public campaign as she struggled with terminal cancer, and that was not what she would have expected either. Certainly having patients having the ability to grow their own and provide for themselves and protection for their caregivers and the green fairies that are providing it for them. So this story anyway, Hope's Desperate Measure, was about a mother who, anyway, she cannot get access to it because it's just too bloody difficult and it's not being funded. And
very spinny.
The other article goes into a lot more detail and explains some of the reasons why our medical cannabis supply is in jeopardy. And one of the things, or the main thing, is that we have this very high standard that is being held to. So a product to be prescribed, the good thing is any doctor can prescribe medical cannabis now. The bad thing is there's nothing for them to prescribe, or very little. And that's because these product standards are so high that nothing, or not very few, products that are made anywhere in the world qualify. And even though we thought, those of us in the industry, we thought they were going to sort of just point to the German regulations or the European regulations and go, right, we'll follow them. It turns out they've kind of gone just slightly off that. So there's a bunch of pesticides that have to be tested for. There's a bunch of, there's three heavy metals that they don't test for. And there's stability, shelf life on the ingredients that they don't have to do. So because of those things, they sound kind of minor, but that just means that nothing that's being made for these overseas markets actually can meet the New Zealand standard without additional testing or customized manufacture. And so that's why there's just nothing available. And in fact, the 10 products that are on the market right now, there's approximately 10 CBD oils that are available through your doctor. Our understanding is that only the Tilray will make it... through the approval process by the time this temporary exemption runs out at the end of March. And so we'll go from a situation where pre the medical cannabis scheme, there were 10 oils available, and then now the medical scheme's available, there might be one available. So that's obviously a backward step and not what anyone expected. And it really just shows that, you know, when we were campaigning for the referendum and saying, like, on the show, hey, this is what's going to happen with medical cannabis, it's too tight and we need to vote yes to allow medical access, and the NOPAs said we were lying and that it was all wrong and how dare we talk about medical and bring that into it. But here we have, and like you said, it's everyone's gone on break and stuff, and the journos are just coming back and kind of going, hang on, we're almost a year down the track and what the hell's changed? If anything, it's actually got tougher. And I'll give you another example. Pharmacists can compound medications, right? Now, not all of them want to, but some of them do and some of them can. And so a doctor that wants to prescribe a product that isn't readily available can ask a pharmacy to make it up and compound it. Now, they can do that with any other medicine, but they can't do it with cannabis medicines.
What do you mean, make it up? Like make it up like a potion kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Right. They can take an active ingredient and put it into a right. skin thing or put it into capsules for you to take. Or sometimes people do it with things like hormones, or they might put multiple active ingredients into one pill so it's easier to take.
A little Jeffrey pill. Okay.
But yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, the point being, they can do that for any other medicine, but they can't do it for cannabis.
Why have they made it so difficult for things to...
I kind of think it was accidental in a way. Instead of carving out an exemption for cannabis and kind of making it easier, they just overlaid another set of rules. And so now you have to follow twice the rules and twice the regulations as anyone else.
Sounds like a money pit to me, actually.
Well, maybe, but anyway, that's a whole other story. But it could all be made easier if they bring in this herbal second kind of option that they actually had originally in the draft for it. And so the pharmaceutical versions would go down the route that we have, and anything herbal like flower or basic balms and oils, that could have a different set of rules. And then it's just up to the doctor as to whether they're actually confident, prescribing it. But rather than the regulators constraining the industry into really tight rules, let them produce a bit more, and then it's just up to doctors and patients whether they want to have that.
Talk to your local MP about this, Chris. How should people...
I would say my local MP, Chloe, is probably pretty, down with this. But certainly, yeah, other people should, and get, particularly ones that are... that are in the government. Andrew Little is, of course, the new Minister of Health, and he was in charge of the cannabis referendum. So he's a good guy to be talking to or lobbying. If you see him out and about at a barbecue or something, get in there. Another story that was in the news, though, this is kind of related. This was Radio New Zealand. Medicinal Cannabis Clinic gives alternative to the black market, and this was the Drug Foundation saying that a new clinic that has opened up in Wellington. So it's Wellington's first medicinal cannabis clinic has just opened. And so this is a specialist GP clinic where people can go to and know that the doctor behind it, who is David Feng, and he ran a cannabis clinic in Melbourne. And now he's back home and he has opened this clinic called Canadoc Clinic in Wellington. It's been going since December. And so that's great that Wellingtonians have got somewhere they can go. And the Drug Foundation, of course, saying, well, this gives an alternative to the black market because the legal market, is just not providing for most people. So most patients are stuck in the illicit market. But if there's a clinic around and a doctor that is actually willing to make the prescription, then, and of course, he does it by telemedicine, by video. And for those of us in Auckland, of course, there's three clinics in Auckland. You have one out in Henderson, one in Herne Bay, and another in Takapuna. So, Aucklanders have three clinics that they can go see, and they all do telemedicine too. So nationwide, people can book in a video consult and get their CBD.
What's the average cost of a script for CBD?
Too much.
Like 50. Monthly. How much monthly would I be spending on my script for CBD?
$2,000.
Well, I think that varies, and I hear a bit of grumbling among some patients, and it is all unfunded, and the doctors aren't funded either. So, you're not paying your regular doctor fee, you're paying a bit more, like if you go see a specialist, and then you've got to pay the full cost of the medicine too. So these doctor clinics are improving access in that people can actually get the prescription, whereas maybe their regular doctor is not quite confident enough. They haven't been exposed to the evidence or done the research, or I hate to say do the research, but... they often don't have time and they aren't taught it in med school, the specialist doctors have a bit more confidence behind them because they specialize in it.
It's not ACC-subsidized?
No, none of it's subsidized. That's part of the problem. Yeah. And ACC tend to not fund it. They have on a couple of occasions, but only for Sativex. I'm not aware of any funding of CBD.
How come they're not getting in there on it? Are they just a little bit cautious and just waiting to see what happens? Or?
Well, partly it's a circular thing because they just go, unapproved product, therefore we're not going to fund it. And it's like, well, every medicinal cannabis product apart from Sativex is an unapproved product. And the scheme is about allowing the use of unapproved products. And yet ACC and PharmAct go, hey, it's unapproved, therefore we're not going to fund it. So you're kind of stuck there a little bit. And that's why we need the actual cost of production to come down, ultimately, as well as perhaps a bit of help from funding. But ultimately, if you're holding it to these high standards, then it's going to be super expensive.
What a fucking shit show, by the way. It is,
and that's what it's being called, mate. But hey, we're not alone. It reminds me of another story, Jamaica having a ganja shortage.
I don't buy this at all.
Incredible, eh? So this is partly a combination. This was covered by Stuff this week. Jamaica faces cannabis shortage.
It's legal there now,
so partly, yeah, legal there, yeah. So they had a bit of climate change kind of issues with some storms and droughts that have been really bad for their harvest. But the other thing, the reason why it was kind of like, this sounds kind of familiar, their cannabis licensing authority there has authorized 29 cultivators, issued 73 licenses. So there's no shortage of marijuana in the regulated industry, but the weed sold via the legal dispensaries, which are known as herb houses. Did you like that?
Yes.
This is out of reach for many because it costs 5 to 10 times what you can buy it off your dealer for.
Right. So it's a tourist.
So same thing happening there in Jamaica, where the legal market is just not actually providing for people, in reality. And the farmers are struggling both with drought, but actually also to get license because they want the.
Are they kind of banking on the fact there being a tourism boom, like a Amsterdam type thing, but tourists can't go there right now?
Yes, that was also part of it too, and they also like to do their ganja farming at night because it's so hot, and they have a curfew because of COVID, so they can't get out and tend their fields. So it's like a whole bunch of things all happened at once, and unfortunately meant that there's a weed drought in Jamaica of all places. But meanwhile, one other place that's changed was ACT, and there was a story about what's changed in the year since the ACT, I should say, ACT, Canberra, otherwise known as.
Yeah.
The Australian Capital Territory. So they legalized cannabis a year ago, and just like here, all these dire predictions, in fact, that very word, dire predictions, and none of them have come true. And so here we have, looking at a year ago, offenses dropped by 90%. So that was awesome. They went from the high of 56 plus before down to 5. So, they obviously don't really arrest that many people there anyway. But there was no increase in accidents or hospital visits. Usage didn't go up. It just remained steady. But bust down by 90%, and so basically all good news from the ACT. And the reason that that's relevant here is they allow home growing under the same kind of numbers as we would have had under the cannabis referendum, 2 per adult or 4 per household. And I think that's possibly even where those numbers came from with our referendum.
Okay, lastly, a bit of an anecdotal stuff from me. A friend of mine went down to Welcome to Nowhere Festival and had a scissor and a couple of nuggets on him. And the policeman reluctantly just wrote him a warning saying, it'll probably be legal soon anyway. He said that to him, the cop.
Oh, I love that.
How crazy is that? And he basically got found because he had the scissors on him. And then he was like, oh shit, hang on, there's some weed in here. And just wrote him like a cute little note. Like, and the note was kind of like, the warning was like, if I see you again. It wasn't like, it's not like any cop. It was just like, if I find you with weed again, it's going to be a problem.
Love it.
So you can tell that they're just fed up, They're like, oh, fuck it,
Exactly. They want to get on with other things. But give that cop a promotion, eh? That's just awesome. We need more of that. hey, one last thing, though, just before I go. So Otago Daily Times, and this is on the Herald website because they carry their stuff. Otago Daily Times. Drug testing policy issues highlighted in a recent decision. I think this will be interesting to people if they want to search for a decision. It's in the Employment Court, just came out. It's Vulcan Steel and the Manufacturing and Construction Workers Union.
Okay.
So that's how you're going to find it, Vulcan Steel and the Manufacturing and Construction Workers Union. And what this ruling confirmed is that a worker can choose to have a saliva test rather than a urine test.
So,
and the reason that
this
is important,
doesn't stick around quite as long in your saliva as it does in your urine?
Yeah. So a urine test gets these huge amount of false positives. People who aren't impaired, but the cannabinoids can hang around for a month or two in their urine. So they're not impaired at all, but the test is saying they're positive. So that's a false positive. And the vast majority of results are actually, they're not impaired at all. Whereas a saliva test will be triggered for about a day, maybe less, so that's much more tightly correlated to the actual time of impairment. So this is great for workplaces. It's actually much better for employers because they can say this is actually a health and safety thing rather than just some bullshit punitive law. I think it's huge. It's a great step forward if people can choose a saliva. I bet it's not have them at all, but a saliva test is a much better option than urine test.
Sweet, Bix. Thank you very much, Chris Fowley. You get back to tending the register there and selling vases up there at the hemp store.
Indeed. And hey, next week, Thursday, whatever, we're open late, like a lot of K Road. It's the Karanga Happy Hour next Thursday.
Okay.
So come on up. We'll have some good specials and a bit of, you know, and come on up.
Mint, bro. Take it easy.
All right. See ya.
Right, what's
it,
Chris?
Do it, then.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with marijuana.